Blog Talk Radio.
I may be a soldier, I stand up for you. When your world comes crashing down, I'll be the one to hold you. Let me be a soldier, I'll fight for you. When you're up against the wall, I will pull you through.
South Florida Connects provides straight spouse awareness support.
Have you found out that you're a straight spouse? Are you worried about what that means for you and your family now? South Florida Connects is here for you. We are a local Miramar nonprofit outreach and advocacy organization that provides straight spouse awareness support to men and women who need help to deal with the devastating realization that their spouse or significant other is secretly gay. We are here for you. Visit us at our website at southfloridaconnects.com. That's southfloridaconnects.com, or call our support hotline at 954-983-9751 and leave us a message with your contact information and our peer support specialist will contact you. Or you can email us at sfconnects@gmail.com. That's sfconnects@gmail.com to share the details and say what help you need. Call us if you want to have a seminar or support group meeting at your church, business, or organization.
Let me be a soldier, I'll die for you.
Hello, and welcome to Straight Spouse Awareness with South Florida Connects. I am Debbie Thomas Brown, your host, and today we'll be talking about straight spouse job hunting and some common mistakes to avoid. We have been talking about you getting back on your feet financially, and so one of the ways you will be able to do that is finding a job, because some of you have not worked in years, and now that you're separated or divorced, you will need to find a way to financially support yourself. So some of you will be going back out into the world of work. Some of you will definitely need to find a job to have an income. So for this program, we will talk about how you can maximize your job hunt. We will also talk about how job hunting, you know, some of the job hunting mistakes that you should avoid. What should you do when you are job searching? And what shouldn't you do? There's a laundry list of things that can help your job search and things that can hinder it. Every part of what you do when you job search, including looking for job postings, writing cover letters, dressing for an interview, sending a thank you note, job searching or not from work, for those of you who already have a job but you're trying to find something that, you know, pays you a little more, and using social media can make or break your job search. As a straight spouse, your resume and or social networking gaffes may work against you in your job search. It doesn't matter if you are under 50 or over 50 years old. Paying attention to some important indicators can help you be successful in your job search. Just like how you are rusty at dating because it's been so many years since you dated, you have to kind of learn the ropes about how to date in 2013. So for those of you who didn't work in 20 years or more, or those of you who never actually work outside of home, you know, there are some new things that you have to, you know, to learn so that you can be successful in your job search. Although the economy has shown some recent signs of recovery, the current unemployment rate stands about 7.5%. Social media, including sites like Twitter and Facebook, can help you find a job and connect with people who can assist you with growing your career. However, It works both ways. You have to be careful. Social media, when used the wrong way, can backfire and jeopardize a job offer or even your current job. It's important to be careful and consider what you shouldn't do as well as what you should do when using social media to job search. So the first thing you must consider is don't blow your job search. Because job searching can be tough, even though, you know, you may not look at it that way. Job searching can be tough enough all by itself. There is no need to make it even harder by doing or saying the wrong thing when job searching or interviewing. Here's a list. I'm going to talk about some stuff that, I'm not going to call it a list. I'm just going to say I'm going to talk about some stuff that you shouldn't do so you don't have to wonder why you didn't get a call or didn't get the job. And while I'm talking about what you shouldn't do, you will be automatically learning what you should do. And this is not advice. This is just information that I'm sharing with you because I know that it's not easy when you go out to search right now, especially for the over 40, over 50 set who have to go back to work, and even some over 60, because some of you straight wives, you definitely have to go back out to get a job to be able to support yourselves. Since there are plenty of obstacles standing in your way to a new job, it's imperative to hone your approach. See if you're making any of these job hunting mistakes and fix them before it's too late. We know searching for a job after many years outside the job market can be daunting for some of you. It is especially nerve-wracking for you straight spouses who have had your self-esteem drop through the floor. But you're on your journey, your recovery journey, and you're doing great, and you're ready to go out and you know, earn a living, make a living, because some of you were trained, you had college degrees that you weren't using, and now you're ready to go back out and use them. But remember, those days were then, and this is now. You can achieve anything you set your mind to, right? The gay thing kind of set you back a little bit, but that was then. This is now. You can achieve anything you set your mind to. So let's talk about some things to avoid, and more importantly, some things to really pay attention to. Carrie Hannon wrote an article for AARP back in July 2013, and I would like to share some of it with you. I will adapt parts of it for you, or straight spouse sisters. When you get passed over for a job and you are over 50 or even over 40, over 60, it's tempting to pin the blame on ageism, or say that you were overqualified for the position, or that there was a younger worker willing to work for less pay. While all that is certainly possible, it might be that you made some simple but avoidable mistakes. You've worked hard to rebuild your self-esteem, so don't make mistakes that can leave a bad taste in your mouth while your job search. Don't let your job search rob you of your joy. Here are some my top things not to do in your job search. These are my top things. I've done some research and I've put this together. Before your interview, make sure your social media accounts don't cast you in a bad light. So clean up everything that may appear questionable to others, no matter how cute you think it may be. Don't adopt a laissez-faire attitude toward your online social media footprint on sites such as LinkedIn, Facebook, Google+, Instagram, or Twitter, etc., etc., because I know some of you have profiles on just about every social media page. Don't create a situation where you have so much negative stuff out there that you can't even find it to clean it up. Make sure you have a decent online presence. When you're looking for a job or posting yourself for career growth, positioning yourself for career growth, it's important to have an online presence where you can showcase your skills and experience. Your online profiles will also help you connect with contacts that can expedite your job search and assist you with moving up the career ladder. A recent Career Builder Nationwide survey found that more than 2 in 5 hiring managers who use social media to research potential employees said they found information online that caused them not to hire a candidate. The biggest turnoff for potential employers were the candidate posted provocative or inappropriate photos or information, and that's what, like 50%. My rule is this: if you would be embarrassed for your parents to see it or read it, don't post it. When in doubt, leave it out. Sites had information about candidates drinking or using drugs. That's 48%. Remember that you can be deemed guilty by association. Don't allow everyone to tag you in pictures just because they know you. Use your privacy settings to prevent free-for-all tagging. Candidates had bad-mouthed previous employers. That was 33%. Because you know your previous boss was bad, incompetent, mean, or lazy, does not mean you have to broadcast your opinion. Potential bosses will see that and believe you will do the same thing to them, and they will not hire you. Some candidates had poor communication skills, and this was 30%. I know Twitter allows 140 characters for tweets, but that doesn't mean you have to use words not found in the dictionary or spell like a first grader. If English is your official language, please write in English. I am Jamaican, and I could talk Jamaican patois, and some of you would probably never understand anything I said, even though it would probably sound very entertaining. But I would not be communicating now, would I? So let your interactions be complete communications. Some candidates made discriminatory comments related to race, gender, or religion. This was 28%. Remember that bigotry has no place in our communications. We should not discriminate against others. Avoid it at all times. You may be mad about your straight spouse situation, and you may want to lambast your gay ex, but don't do that on social media. Don't do that on social media. Again, not everything you think about, you have to share. You have no idea who might see it. Some candidates lied about their qualifications, and that was 24%. It's been a while since you have worked, maybe, or it's been a while since you graduated college but never worked. It may have been years since you earned any independent money, but avoid padding your resume at all costs. Be honest about your experience and be truthful about your training and education. You do not want to be caught in a lie on your resume. In today's job market, straight spouses, you should have an online profile that really, really represents you in the best possible way. It can work for you if you manage your social media accounts diligently. I know that most of you who have Facebook and, you know, Twitter and other accounts, Instagram, you have pictures. You have pictures of you. But I'm going to suggest that you upload a current professional headshot, or at least an attractive photo, even if you took it with your smartphone. People usually want to see what you look like on your profiles. They want to see what you look like. So smile and sit up straight with your shoulders pulled back, you know, with your chin up. You might want to visit your hairdresser before you take that picture so that you can get a tidy shot with nice styled hair, and, you know, that will help to enhance your looks. Because remember, you're selling yourself. You're advertising yourself. So you want to put your best foot forward. And while you're at it, update your personal privacy settings on your social media sites, such as Facebook. Someone once said, search for yourself on Google and other web search engines using every name you have ever used. You will discover what others can see about you, and you may be surprised what information is out there about you. Right now, you could just go to google.com and enter your name in the search box and see what pops up about you. I was listening to a webinar one day, and the presenter asked us to Google our names. I did, and I saw a listing about me from the Points of Light Foundation, and I wondered what it was all about. Surprise, I read it, and it was a pleasant surprise. A straight wife I helped with support through a tough time, she nominated me for a Daily Points of Light Award, and I won, but did not know because I didn't read the email that the Points of Light sent me to notify me. Now, that was a pleasant surprise, but so many people find nasty surprises about themselves online. You can remove some things that you post or your friends post about. You can ask them to remove them if they show you in an unflattering light. But it's not always possible to do so. Okay? It's not always possible to remove it. So try not to put it there in the first place. And if possible, please be ready to discuss anything that you cannot remove if a job interviewer asks you about it. There's a ton of information that can tell employers a lot about you online, including tweets, your instant messages, your blogs, and the content and photos you post on social networking sites like, you know, Facebook and Twitter, and, you know, all those other places that you may go to share. It's easy for employers to find information you may have preferred to keep private. Much of it can be found by just Googling your name, like I said before. What you think is all in good fun might not come across that way to potential employers. So scrub your online profiles before you go job hunting. If you have already started your job search, go to your online profiles and make sure that they are all flattering. And there's nothing inappropriate there to embarrass you and to prevent you from even getting a call to come for an interview. So remove unflattering pictures or anything that makes you appear less than professional. Like I said before, don't forget your Facebook privacy settings. I have to elaborate on that because I have been able to see so many people's pages, and I'm not their friends. And the reason why is because their privacy settings are not appropriate. They let everybody in. And while you're job hunting, you don't want your prospective boss to see everything. Here's an example of what can happen when you aren't careful about your privacy settings on Facebook. I received photos of a third party from one of my Facebook friends. She was able to send me photos of her friends because they didn't limit who their photos were shared with. I was able to see photos of someone I didn't know simply because the person wasn't careful about her privacy settings. If I was an employer, I wouldn't have been impressed. she was having a really, really good time. And I don't know if I would hire her, thinking that she would probably continue to have a good time like that even when she is supposed to come to work. So I don't have too much privacy settings on my Facebook because I want people to see what I post, because I am very, very careful what I post on my Facebook. So I don't have too many private settings because of how I use it, it's not necessary. But for those of you who post prolifically and put all these pictures, you need to have some settings to block people like me from seeing what you post if I am not your friend. Another thing, does the employment history on your resume match what's on your LinkedIn profile? Does the information you have on your Facebook page, if it's public like mine, match up with the information you have elsewhere online? It's fine if you rework your job descriptions, for example, because targeting your resume is a good thing when applying for jobs. What's not okay is if your job titles, companies, and dates don't jive. That's a red flag for prospective employers. That will look like you're fudging and making up stuff. So make sure everything is syncing. Highlight your work experience and education. List your hobbies and all your volunteer activities, and comment on or post articles you find informative and interesting. Statistically speaking, we know that if you share once a week, you increase your chances of having your profile viewed by a recruiter tenfold. That's a lot of times, says LinkedIn's career expert, Nicole Williams. Ask ex-colleagues, previous bosses, and past clients in different age groups to write recommendations and endorse you on LinkedIn. It's best if they stress up-to-date tech skills that you have, your creativity, your experience, and work ethic. And when a younger colleague backs you, it shows that you work well with someone younger. And that is often a concern for employers hiring an older worker, especially someone who has been out of the workforce for a while. Don't use a childish or wacky email address. I cannot tell you how many times I receive emails from people with these way out email addresses, and I have to scratch my head. I'm like, huh? So don't use those, such as straightwife45@aol.com. Don't use anything like that. Or some such, you know, moniker that means something to you, but not to anyone in any human resources department anywhere. So choose an email address that's professional and includes your full name, such as, let's say, johnsmith@gmail.com, or one that includes your own domain name, such as johnsmith@johnsmith.com. Avoid an address with numerals, especially if it's something that suggests a birth year, such as, let's say, Debbie, 1961. You don't want to tell people what year you were born. They might just guess that's the year you were born and think, oh, she's too old. You know, so don't use those. Use professional ones. And what I always tell people when they send me an email and there's no signature, I encourage them to put a signature, or sometimes people don't know how to do it, and I walk them through the process, how to add a signature to your outgoing email messages that includes your contact information. That's your telephone number, email address, any website that you have, you know, blog that you may have, and links to your social network accounts such as Twitter and LinkedIn, or your Facebook if it's professional. Because employers will look at those links to gather more information about you. So make sure that they are meaningful, professional things about you. Do not include any personal information beyond your address, email, and phone number. Leave out your age, race, sex, sexual orientation, religion, political affiliation and the names and ages of your spouse and or children. And I know that on Facebook it gives you the option to include all of those. I am suggesting that you hide them, because if you are honest about your sexual orientation and somebody who is of a different orientation, you know, they might not want to hire you. Or if you are of a certain religion and somebody is of a different religion, and they might not want to hire you. Or if they are of a different political persuasion. So you don't want to make them have any bias in their mind before they even give you an interview. So I would hide those so that not everyone can see, you know. It's not that you're lying about it. It's just that you're just not talking about it yet. And you shouldn't be asked about that in any interview. You should also leave out important numbers that could allow someone to steal your identity, such as your social security number, driver's license number, and any credit card information. Those are not necessary. It should never be included, period. I talked about photographs before, and because I know that people from all over the world are listening to this, let me say this. Your online profiles no doubt have pictures of you already, but while many companies outside of the United States require a photograph with each resume, those within the U.S. do not. In fact, most companies prefer you not include a photograph so they can safely adhere to the Equal Opportunity Employer legislation, which prohibits companies from making hiring decisions for discriminatory reasons. You could understand that, right? Physical characteristics, height, weight, etc., avoid including those. Like a photograph, including your physical characteristics and a resume opens the door to possible accusations of discrimination against the company. And companies therefore prefer that you do not include any physical descriptors. And don't job hunt alone. Ask for help and advice. And we call this networking. It's not just, you know, oh, hold on. Somebody said it's just one letter off from not working. Get it? Networking. One letter off from not working. And this is Joel McCaw. He's your executive director of greenbiz.com. That's how he puts it. Now, there is a book entitled Great Jobs for Everyone 50 Plus. Finding Work That Keeps You Happy and Healthy and Pays the Bill. And this was written by Carrie Hannon. She's an AARP jobs expert and career transition expert, and also an award-winning author. So try and get a copy. You can find it on Amazon.com. And I'm thinking that because even though it says for everyone 50 plus, it will help anybody under 52. So because it's all about what and whom you know that can get you in the chair for a face-to-face meeting for an interview. Networking works both ways. The more you're willing to help someone else, the more likely they will be to help you. Take some time every day to reach out to your connections. Write a recommendation on LinkedIn. Offer to introduce them to another connection, share an article or news with them. Giving to get really does work. Your connections are more likely to return the favor when you have offered to help them. When businesses are looking for candidates, they lean on employee referrals. According to CareerXroads, a recruiting industry consulting firm, while current employees fill 42% of all openings, employee referrals account for about 25% of the remainder. Try networking with family and friends. It is also a good idea to network with people you meet while volunteering or through community nonprofit organizations. Search for contacts you know who work at the company where you hope to land a job and tell them that you are applying for a position. Ask if they can put in a good word for you or give you any advice. LinkedIn and often your high school or college alumni offices can help you find connections. And don't get fancy with your resume. Avoid a splashy layout or special effects. Choose a traditional font, such as Times New Roman in 10 to 12 point size, and use black type on white paper. Other highly readable fonts to consider are Arial, Calibri, Cambria, or Tahoma. In addition to creating the paper version of your resume, pull together an electronic document you send via email that lands without any odd formatting. The text should be flush with the left-hand side of the document, and you want to use an easy-to-read font. Email it to yourself to check how it looks before you send it along to prospective employers. I get emails from people all the time, and sometimes it doesn't look right. And sometimes I try to send emails, and I send it to myself, like I just tell you, you know, suggest that you do. And then when I look at it, I'm like, oh, this is so not, you know, not what I wanted to look like. And while you're doing all of this, just take a moment, breathe, just smile at yourself. Look back at your accomplishments and thank God for where he brought you from to where he has you now. And just thank him for what he's going to continue to do for you, okay? And just take it moment by moment, just one moment in time, one moment.
Day I live, I want to be a day to give the best of me. I'm only one, but not alone. My finest day is yet unknown. I broke my heart for every gain. I face the pain, I rise and fall, yet through it all, this much remains.
Motivated us when she was alive. I figure that she can motivate a few stray spouses with her voice in debt. Now, we were talking about your resume. And have you ever seen a resume that was several pages long? Don't make any resumes like that. Don't turn your resume into an autobiography. Keep it timely, focused, and short. Most recruiters will scan it for 20 or 30 seconds to keep it. So keep it no more than, say, one or two pages. Stick So the most recent 10 to 15 years of experience. Yes, some of our straight spouses have not worked in that time, but you did volunteer work and you made other valuable contributions to your community, right? That's experience. Avoid giving dates when it comes to decades-old experience, and only include those ancient jobs if they are pertinent. Let's see, if they are pertinent to the work you're currently seeking. There's no need for college graduation dates. Match the experience and skills you cite in your resume with the precise skills employers say they are seeking in their job posting. Your resume should provide employers with a narrative about how you've been successful in earlier jobs. Tell your story with rich details, such as how you reined in costs by a certain percentage, boosted sales by a certain percentage, or delivered a job 2 months ahead of schedule, stuff like that. Toot your horn, but just don't be corny about it. Don't forget to proofread your resume. Let me repeat this. Don't forget to proofread your resume. This is a deal breaker for many employers, so make sure your resume is 100% free of grammar and spelling errors, and spell check alone should not be trusted. I have found several errors in documents that were supposedly spell checked several times. The quality of your resume is what forms most potential employers' first impression of you and opens the door to job interviews. So it's important to make sure it's perfect. Whether you create one on your own or have it professionally prepared is up to you. Just be sure it's 100% error-free. In addition to making the paper version of your resume perfect, make sure the one you send via email delivers without any messed up formatting or funny breaks. Double and triple check your document before sending it to anyone. Ask someone who is a good writer to also check it for you before sending it to anyone else. Any misspellings or grammatical gaffes suggest that you don't pay attention to detail or aren't that interested in the job. Clearly, not something a potential boss wants to see. So prevent these avoidable mistakes. Like I said before, ask someone you trust to read over your resume for you. A second or third set of eyes can catch things you might have missed. If you can't find someone, print the document out, then wait for an hour or so before you review it again, so you have fresh eyes. I have written several times, and I check, can double check, can triple check, and because I am the one who wrote it, I don't see the error. So if you could get somebody else to check it for you, that would be great. It's recommended that you read it out loud. And for me, that's the best way to catch missed words and grammatical mistakes. Just read it out loud to yourself or have someone read it out loud to you. Don't forget to check all your correspondence for errors. Proofread all of your correspondence, be it an email, cover letter, job application, or thank you note. The devil's in the details. This is basic, but so easy to forget. Take your time. Pause before you hit that send button. Read your note again and again, out loud, just as you did with your resume. I really hope you did read your resume out loud, especially if someone else prepared it for you. And please, it's never a good idea to send messages via text or emails on your cell phone, particularly if you have an autocorrect program running. Salary is an issue you can discuss with the employer during an interview, or once you have been offered the job. You do not want to establish a salary range before you have even been offered an interview. People do make that mistake. Don't do that. References available upon request. That's an old-fashioned way to do it. Generally, it is assumed that a job applicant will have references. Instead of including the references on your resume or saying references available upon request, you can send the hiring manager a separate sheet of references or wait until you are asked to provide references. So you should have your references, your professional references available, but you don't have to send it until you're asked for it. Negative words and negative ideas. Avoid saying what you did. Okay. Let me say that again. Avoid saying what you did not do or have not yet accomplished. Do you get that? Focus on what you have done or are in the process of achieving. For example, let me give you an example of that. If you are still in college, do not say not yet graduated, but instead list the year in which you will graduate. If you didn't graduate, simply list the dates you attended. Got it? Instead of saying that you have limited experience in administrative work, simply provide examples of your previous experience. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Don't wait after you do all of that. Don't wait passively at home for the phone to ring. If you are unemployed now, just go and do something. You've been sending out all your letters and things and you're just waiting. Go out and do something. Try volunteering for a nonprofit organization or do pro bono work in a job that uses your skills. That can be used as experience that you can talk about, and you will also feel much better than just doing nothing. Join professional groups. Volunteer for events to stay engaged and hobnob with players in your field. Who said you can't dress in your business suit to hobnob with movers and shakers? You might impress somebody just by how professional you look. Then they may be, they may want to talk to you about your skills. You never know. Volunteering for a nonprofit lets you network and potentially get your foot in the door with a future employer. I've seen that work so many times. So it does work. But just don't volunteer just to volunteer. Volunteer with an organization that is doing something that you have a passion for. It also fills in gaps in your resume, like I said before, and you never know who you might meet who will lead you to a job opening elsewhere, because this is all about networking. This is all about networking. Search for prospects at, for prospects where you can volunteer at volunteermatch.org. You can go online there or on the hands-on network.org or on AARP's giving back. That's at AARP.org/giving-back. Seek out nonprofits that need your particular professional expertise through taprootfoundation.org. That's taprootfoundation.org and the executive service core, that's exus.org. Bridgespan.org runs an online job board for nonprofit positions. Idealist.org has a searchable database of both volunteer and paid positions. So that, that's something that you could do while you wait to find a job or during your search, until you get a job, for those of you who were home and not working outside of home.
Check with an employer that you're interested in working for or one in a field that you would like to move into to find out if it offers unpaid internships for more experienced workers. Don't be afraid to speak up for yourself. The sky is the limit. You can do it, but you have to start somewhere. Don't overlook your physical appearance. First impressions count. Before you head out on an interview, I'm going to say get in good physical shape, but it doesn't mean that you have to slim down and be full of muscles and stuff like that. I'm just saying that you should look decent. You know, try to make yourself look decent. And because it would give you more energy, make you feel energetic and feel more vibrant, and your appearance will look more, you know, put together. Spruce up your hairstyle with an up-to-date cut and shaping. And I remember when I was younger, I used to hear people say, dress for the job that you're looking for. So I'm going to say overdress, not underdress. It's better to be too dressed up than to be not dressed up enough. Do you get my point? Remember, you're dressing for the position you would like to have someday. Wear clothes that are currently in fashion. And if you can't afford to go shopping, it's a good idea to maybe, I don't know, some people will do this, but some people won't. They will go to like a consignment store where you may find low price outfits fit for any business executive or other worker. And they have organizations in different communities that offer women executive outfits so that they can go do their job search. So maybe you have stuff like that in your area. You could check that out. Because it never hurts to overdress. Get some fashion-forward specs. Yep, that's what it is. A manicure is a good idea. Well, men, you can skip the nail polish. Make sure you shine your shoes, you know, keep them clean, and just stand tall with your shoulders back and your chin out. You know, act confident. And even if you don't feel confident, I'm going to say fake it. Let me say that again. Fake it until you make it. Because if you keep faking it, you're going to start feeling it. And that's what you want. So it's easy to get discouraged, especially if you set out a gazillion resumes and cover letters and haven't heard anything back from anybody. You know, searching for a job can be difficult and lonely. Let me say that. It can be difficult and lonely. I talk to people all the time who are going through this. You may interview with dozens of companies, never to hear from them again, and you may experience many unreturned phone calls as well. In the midst of all this adversity, it's important to maintain a positive attitude and an upbeat outlook. Becoming discouraged only works against you. Okay? Becoming discouraged only works against you. If you are unemployed, you probably have some free time on your hands. Spend a portion of it to keep your attitude and your outlook healthy. Stay in shape, stay connected to friends, join networking groups, and learn new skills to add to your resume. These types of activities can help you keep you motivated and reduce the amount of time you have to become discouraged. And remember, take it one day at a time. Just one day at a time. One day at a time.
Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am.
Take it one day at a time, okay? One day at a time. And remember that while you're job searching, and you're doing it one day at a time, you do not need to tell the whole world you are looking for work. You are networking with your select group of people who you choose. You don't have to broadcast it to everybody that you're networking, except maybe if somebody goes to your LinkedIn page, they might see that you are. This is especially true if you are already employed, because some of you may be employed, but you're underemployed, so you're trying to find another job that is more suitable to your training and your education so that you can make a little more income. If your boss finds out that you are thinking about leaving, he could speed up the process by giving you the boot. The last thing you want to do now, if you have a little something coming in, is to lose your current position before you have found a new one. So keep your job search kind of close to your chest and just with your network. Don't broadcast it to everybody. You don't want your boss to find out, okay? And whatever you do, try not to use your boss's computer to job search, because chances are he's looking at what you're doing and he might see that you're trying to leave. Okay? Do not use a singular strategy. If you want to find a job quickly, search for leads in every way possible. For instance, 36 million people used social media to find a job in 2011. If you've been ignoring that avenue, start checking sites such as Facebook, LinkedIn, and regularly for job announcements. Checking job boards is also a good idea, but if you are intent on working for a particular company, consider showing up in person. And if you're going to show up in person, please be professionally dressed. Remember, you can't overdress. You may not land a job interview, but you will at least get your face in front of someone, which could lead to an opportunity down the road. And when you get in the door and you sit in front of somebody or some people, do not diss your former employers. If you're asked about a previous employer with whom you've had a negative experience, be gracious. Smoothly shift the subject away from the past to the present day and future job opportunities. Do not ever badmouth your boss, your previous boss, that is. Never post anything on social media that shows your displeasure if there's bad blood. Nothing good will come of this. When you criticize others, it reflects badly on your character. I learn so much about people from what they say about others. And remember what I said about networking. Do not underestimate the power of networking. You know, while some job events and career fairs may seem like a waste of time, you never know where your next key contact will come from. So embrace networking as a major piece of your job hunting strategy. Join or become more active in the professional groups. You may also want to volunteer for functions with your professional networking group. This is a great way to stay involved and get noticed by the movers and shakers in your field. Some people forget to keep all points of contact professional. Don't. Keep them professional. You want to be professional in everything that you do while you job search. whether it's the voicemail greeting on your cell phone or the appearance of your social media pages, make sure everything looks and sounds immaculately professional. If employers are interested in you, be assured that they will investigate you, and that includes visiting your online profiles. I said this before, but I'm saying it again because this is so important, because so many people overlook this. If you have anything that you don't feel comfortable with an employer, that if you have anything that you wouldn't feel comfortable with an employer or your mother, either remove it or be sure that your privacy settings prohibit any employer from seeing it. That way, you present yourself in the best light possible. Remember, many of your job search expenses are tax deductible. Your resume, the preparation fees, the paper supplies and postage, the cost of gas needed to drive to interviews, and more. I'm not giving tax advice, I'm just giving you information. So you need to consult your tax advisor about all of this to see how it relates to you personally. Or you can consult the IRS website for a complete list of details and restrictions, and hold on to your receipts. Finding work may be your top priority right now, but you will thank yourself for reducing your tax burden once you're employed. Some people don't send thank you notes after interviews, but you should. Writing a thank you letter or a thank you email after an employment interview is a must. In fact, some employers think less of those interviewees who fail to follow up promptly. Plan to send out your thank you letters or thank you notes as soon as possible, preferably within 24 hours after your interview. I know someone who did an interview and there were like four people who they were considering, and she was not the most qualified, but because she was the only one who sent a thank you note, they called her back for a second interview. And when they called her back for the second interview, they liked her even more than the first time, and she got hired. So send those thank you notes. Don't underestimate yourself. Career coach Beverly Jones of Clearways Consulting in Washington, D.C. said, I encourage my clients to play along, to play long shots. You have to chase the off-the-wall prospects. Jobs you have never done, but have the skills and ability to perform. Be fearless. I say, aim for the stars. Don't lock yourself in a box. You are a straight spouse, and you have so many talents that you have not even discovered yet. You have survived the gay thing, so you are well on your way. You are special. Remember that life was not meant to be this complicated and difficult, period. And in everything that you do, remember that you are not alone. You can do this. Now, I want you to get that job. Remember, You're a child of the Most High God, and He wants you to succeed. And because He wants you to succeed, He is making provisions for you. God provides.
Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, my provider is great and looking for me. Jehovah Jireh, my
Jehovah Jireh, my provider is great, sufficient for me.
Yes, our Father cares for us. Jehovah cares for us, no matter how difficult things are. Because this job search, I know it's not easy, but He cares. And you know, my personal words that I speak over my life daily comes from Philippians 4, verse 13. And it says, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. That's Philippians 4, verse 13. That's my personal mantra for myself. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. You can too. He gives you strength. You can do anything you set your mind to. And you are going to get that job. And you're not going to just get that job. You're going to get a job that will provide for all of your needs, just like our Heavenly Father says. Thank you for joining me for Straight Spouse Awareness. Be blessed, my Straight Spouse brothers and sisters. Have a blessed evening.
You have been listening to Straight Spouse Awareness with South Florida Connects. Your host was Debbie Thomas Brown, the president and founder of South Florida Connects. Thank you for tuning in. Please be advised that South Florida Connects does not give advice. We provide general information and Straight Spouse Awareness peer support. Subject matters discussed on this radio program are for informational purposes only. We believe in education and empowerment, so we will share information we deem important with you. If you have a situation that matches anything we discussed, please seek the appropriate professional. We do not make on-air recommendations, but if you send an email to sfconnects@gmail.com or leave a detailed message with contact information on our Straight Spouse Support Hotline at 954-983-9751, we will provide a means for you to connect with an appropriate Straight Spouse Awareness professional. We hope that information given here on this radio program will help you become more aware of your circumstances and propel you to get the help that you need for yourself and your family. We are a community, and whatever each one of us can do to contribute to the improvement and betterment of all, we should do so in a spirit of giving and sharing. Visit our website at southfloridaconnects.com for more information on Faith Spouse Awareness. If you have questions or have a topic that you would like to hear discussed, you can send us an email at sfconnects@gmail.com or leave us a message at 954-983-9751. May God continue to cover you with His guidance and care. There is nothing you'll face today, this week, this month, or this year that the Lord can. Gonna be right.
world comes crashing down, I'll be the one to hold you. Let me be your soul.